Dolphins Monday opening drive is on the air. Sunday has come and gone, but our Fins coverage is still full gear. We'll bring you live coverage of Coach Philbin's Monday press conference, plus a complete breakdown of yesterday's game. It's Dolphins Monday opening drive right now.
Welcome to the show with former Dolphin O.J. McDuffie and John Congemi. I'm Jesse Agler. What a way to start the first Dolphins Monday of 2013 with a victory. The Miami Dolphins defeat the Cleveland Browns yesterday afternoon 23-10 at First Energy Stadium in Cleveland, Ohio. The Browns led 7-6 at halftime, and we were all sort of looking down at the ground, muttering to ourselves, unsure what the heck was going to happen in the final 30 minutes of the game. And what happened in the final 30 minutes of the game was Ryan Tannehill really stepping up. The second-year quarterback finishes the day 24 of 38, 272 yards, a touchdown, an interception, and an 82.3 passer rating. A lot to discuss from yesterday's game, good and bad. Certainly plenty of things to work on, and we'll get to all of that. We'll also, by the way, get to live coverage of Joe Philbin's day after press conference coming up about a half hour from now. But let's start with the good, and let's start with the guy who we have said for weeks and weeks and months is really carrying the burden of how good the Miami Dolphins can be in 2013. It was a frustrating first half for Ryan Tannehill. He wasn't really able to get it going. He did not attempt to pass in the direction of Mike Wallace in the first half. He was 12 of 18 for 98 yards and an interception in the first two quarters. But John Congemi, he stepped up in quarters 3 and 4, and with no running game whatsoever to help him out, really looked about as good as we've seen him in any game.
Ryan put the team on his shoulders and said, let's go, boys. We're going to win this game. We're going to find a way to win this football game, because it was there for the Miami Dolphins the entire four quarters. But in that fourth quarter, he was able to generate a huge drive, 10 plays, 85 yards, all, you know, common with Daniel Thomas going over the top for the touchdown. But I just thought he handled the scene well. He handled his teammates well. He got everybody involved that needed to be involved at critical times. And I think that's a sign of a quarterback. That's a sign of a guy maturing from his first year to his second year. Didn't worry about what anybody else thought about it. He was singular focused on finding a way to win that football game. And he found out the guys that he needed to get the football to do that. And I think he really brought that in the huddle, and I think that the guys around him upped their game in the second half. I mean, he looked to Brian Hartline on the outside when he needed to, Brandon Gibson on the inside. He got Clay involved when he needed to. He got the offensive line to pick up their game. Everybody raised their level of game when they needed to the most, and that was critical in the second half, OJ, of finding a way to win, and the Miami Dolphins did it behind their second-year quarterback.
Man, he had his most solid game I've seen him have as a Dolphin. It really was. I mean, to take what happened in the first half where a lot didn't go right for us, and then for him to go out there in the second half, he managed everything well. He was very decisive where he wanted to go with the ball on his pre-snap reads. He was extremely accurate with every single pass. I mean, you look at some of those passes through, most of them are right in the chest. Guys are running away from him, towards him, you know, different routes. Ball was right on the money. And that's was most impressive thing. And also, you know, there's an incident in that game where he and Mike Pouncey took over the leadership of this team. There's a little incident with one of the players on the sideline, and Tannehill comes up and he grabs him by his shirt, tells him to get off the field. You know, that was the moment when Ryan Tannehill took over that team, in my opinion. And now I think it's going to just snowball from there. It's going to get bigger and better as Ryan Tannehill is our leader and as our quarterback. What a great game I thought he had.
Really, really nice game from Ryan Tannehill, and a really, really, really nice game from this Dolphin defense, who made Brandon Weeden particularly uncomfortable the entire day. They also held Trent Richardson to 47 yards rushing, which is a very nice accomplishment. The goal, we said all week, was to try and make the Cleveland Browns one-dimensional offensively, and they eventually did that. Credit, by the way, to the offense, because they put up the points to sort of force Cleveland to have to play from behind. But Miami sacked the Cleveland quarterback 6 times, and they were credited with 16 quarterback hits.
Ouch.
16 quarterback hits in the game yesterday. And my goodness, Cam Wake, we say it every day how good Cam Wake is, but OJ, he just kind of picked up right where he left off and was ferocious and relentless against the Browns.
He's unbelievable. He really is, man. I feel bad for him. And in a critical situation in that game, they had the 4th and 2 they were going for late in that game. They had the audacity to put a running back on him to try to block him. And Cam ran. Didn't even have to go. It was unbelievable how he plays. You see tackles with tight ends that are doubling him have trouble with Cam Wake. And just to see his motor, his energy, and how he comes and how relentless he is all the time, man, it's contagious. All these guys, they come with that type of energy. But Cam Wake is just a special, special person.
You know what was funny? It was fun to watch the defense play yesterday. I saw Kevin Coyle earlier in the building, and I said, hey, Coach, great. And he said, turnovers. I said, turnovers. That's all he's saying, yeah. is turnovers. They've been saying that since January, February, March, and that's what this team did. They created turnovers, three of them in the first half, let alone pounding Brandon Weeden into the ground for, you know, from the start of the football game to the end of the football game. This team was able defensively to take over, and that's what you like to see. When your offense is struggling on the ground, struggling for time of possession and putting points on the scoreboard, the Miami Dolphin defense kept this team in the football game. They kept it close. They kept him hanging around until they were able to put it together, and they went through the air. They went through the passing game, and that's what you call a team win yesterday. That was a complete team win by the Miami Dolphins.
You got to talk a little bit more about those takeaways. They came all in the first half. Miami with three takeaways in the first couple of quarters, all interceptions. Nolan Carroll and then two from Dimitri Patterson. Good news, bad news situation. Obviously, the good news is they got the three takeaways, and that's what the defense has been talking about. The offense, though, unable to take advantage. Three takeaways, 3 points right. off of those three takeaways. Total. 3 total points off of the three takeaways. I imagine that's something Joe Philbin will be emphasizing to his offense and Mike Sherman moving forward, that, hey, the defense sets you up. They give you that bonus possession. Sometimes it's going to be great starting field position. You've got to cash in with 6 or 7 more often than you do with 3 or no points. But you know what else stood out to me about the takeaways and the interceptions is that they were really nice plays. Yeah. You know, these weren't like terrible throws from Brandon Weeden that, right. you know, just went right into the gut of a defensive back and he made the catch. I mean, there were some athletic, acrobatic even types of interceptions being made. But Carroll and Patterson, both of them, I mean, two of the three, I thought, were really just exceptional efforts to pull the ball in.
It's crazy to think DBs have hands at times, you know. The fact that those guys made some incredible plays. Nolan Carroll, the biggest play thing about him was being able to locate the ball and still make a play on his. The tip pass by Dimitri Patterson, and you know, ruled incomplete the one at first, and Dimitri like, no, I caught that, you know, and then go up and get that call reversed. It was just a tremendous, you know, and a lot of that was due to a lot of pressure. There were a lot of pressure on a lot of those plays when guys had these opportunities, man. And so it was really nice to see those guys take away. And they had another opportunity on the Derek Shelby, you know, sack and fumble. You know, we could have jumped on the ball too in the second half. But the thing about that defense, John, they start off with interception, then they went 3 and out for Cleveland, interception, 3 and out for Cleveland, interception. Those first 5 series were just setting the tone right away. This is how this is going to be a long day. You know, you guys better be ready to go.
Yeah, when interception, punt, interception, and they gave up the touchdown on a great throw by Weeden in the corner of the end zone. He had double coverage, and he was still able to get it to Jordan Cameron in the corner of the end zone. But you're right, OJ. Not only did they take it away in the first half, but they left some on the table. There were some forced fumbles. There was some possible interception. I mean, if Rashad Jones gets his hands on that football and is able to catch that football, he's gone. And that's 6 points for the Miami defense and the Miami Dolphins. So there's a couple other opportunities.
Yeah, Chris Clemens ran up on one too, where he, yeah. you know, he was going for the receiver instead of the ball hitting him almost right in the chest. So there's going to be plenty of opportunities out there for these guys to make even more plays like that.
Very excited about the defense, the pressure that they got on the quarterback, the defensive line. It's as advertised. I mean, it's really, really good. The turnovers that they were able to create, and how about third down? The Cleveland Browns were 1 of 14. On third down, 7%.
Right.
1 of 14 for the Cleveland Browns on third down yesterday. Miami, by the way, 8 of 16, which is nothing to slouch at either. I mean, it's a huge down. And any football coach will tell you games generally won and lost on turnover margin and on third down. And two big reasons why Miami won.
When you listen to Joe Philbin the entire offseason, when we get to training camp in the preseason, what did he harp on? He says, you know, we need to win the battle, the turnovers. You need to win the plus minus. You need to get better on third down. Can we generate sacks and pressure on opposing quarterbacks? And can Ryan Tannehill be good at the end of the second quarter and the end of the game, the fourth quarter? Well, I'm going to put some check marks by those mm-hmm. those things, because that's one of the things the Miami Dolphins really were focused on at the end of the football game. Can Ryan Tannehill make enough plays, if need be, to get the team into the end zone, get him into field goal range to win a game? And he did that on Sunday. He was able to get the team in the end zone, to take time off the clock, and more importantly, with his arm. You know, he was able to go down the field and hit Gibson and Hartline and then Gibson again to put this team in position to score points. And I thought that was the most critical time of the game.
Yeah, you know, that the whole thing about the third down situation too, being 8 of 16, 50%, is that we had six times that we were – third and 10 plus. And that's a sign of our running game not working out very well. And we still were able to go 50%. So I think that, you know, once we get some ways of running that ball well and getting in some more manageable third down situations, I think this is going to go up. And as long as Ryan's in there, finding the right guy, being decisive, you know, and accurate as he was, it's going to be a nice situation. Keep the chains moving. Long, sustained drive. That 85-yard drive was the answer you needed at the right time in the football game. And it was one of those things where it becomes deflating for a team you're playing against.
No doubt about it. It's Dolphins Monday opening drive. Week one, Dolphins over the Browns, 23-10. O.J. McDuffie, John Congemi, and Jesse Agler with you, bringing you live coverage of Joe Philbin's day after press conference coming up just about 20 minutes from now. He's expected next door in the interview room. We will bring that to you live. You'll hear what the coach has to say about what went right and what didn't go right yesterday in the 13-point win over the Browns. We'll get to more of the discussion about what didn't go right, because there are obviously some things that need to be discussed right there. But back to the offense, you know, we mentioned Tannehill and everything that he had clicking. You know, Mike Wallace, he didn't get involved, and we'll talk about that. But Brian Hartline, 9 catches, 114 yards, including a 34-yard touchdown. Brandon Gibson had the early drop, but then he comes back, 7 catches for 77 yards. And Big Play Clay was back, 5 catches, 54 yards for Charles Clay, including a 20-yarder. Those guys were getting open. Ryan Tannehill was getting them the ball, and part of the reason why I'm sure they were open was because of what Mike Wallace was doing to the Cleveland defense.
Thank you, Mike Wallace. You did your job yesterday. Mm-hmm. You got one pass for 15 yards, but actually, that's what they needed out of him yesterday. It wasn't a big day because of the way the coverage was rolling to his side, and quite frankly, Ryan Tannehill would have been crazy.
Correct.
To look in his direction on most of those plays. And Brian Hartline was the beneficiary of getting the singled up coverage. And to Brian's credit, he ran some routes yesterday that probably 90% of the league doesn't get separation or get open the way they run routes. He came across the middle on one, OJ, where he didn't drift. He came right down the line. I don't know if it was the 25-yard line or the 35-yard line, but you could tell he was coming downhill on an angle where he was going to get the football, but he was going to shield the defender from getting to the football. And not many guys in the NFL run as disciplined a route as Brian Hartline. And I thought Brandon Gibson, other than the very first throw of the game, he controlled the middle of the football field, and he's got a knack for finding those windows. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's an encouraging sign to see those two guys being the beneficiary of coverage and being able to beat one-on-one. They won when they needed to win. You can look all across the league, and you can tell the numbers when you go through receptions and say, well, he must have been the guy getting the one-on-one coverage, or he must have been the guy, the second read on that, away from maybe a Larry Fitzgerald or away from a big target, Megatron, because he was able to benefit, and that's what Brian did today. He took advantage of his opportunity yesterday with 9 for 114.
Yeah, and I tell you what, Brian is—he's one of the best route runners in the NFL with speed, and that's hard to do. A lot of guys without speed, they can run routes because, you know, it's easier to get out of your breaks. Brian does it at such a fast pace, and able to get in and out of his cuts, and he catches every single thing thrown his way. And you know, Buster Screen, the guy that he was beating up on out there, he had no chance against Brian Hartline. And that's one of the things that Mike Wallace, you talk about, brings to the table. Joe Hayden last year is on Brian Hartline. No knock on what Brian Hartline does, but Joe Hayden is guarding Brian Hartline.
It's a tougher day.
It's a tougher day for him. So now you get this situation where you get these different mismatches, and Brian Hartline is such a great receiver that it could be like this all the time. And then Brandon Gibson gets somebody in the slot that's got to handle him. It's going to be tough for them to go across the board with three different cover guys to cover our wide receiver because they're that talented.
Let's talk a little bit more about Gibson in the slot. It's where you made your living, O.J. McDuffie, and he is a big guy there, bigger than your traditional slot receiver. You saw Devon Bass yesterday. Everybody knows what Devon is capable of in the slot. Brandon Gibson brings something completely different to that situation, and Brandon Gibson is a guy that last year in St. Louis, I think 12 snaps all season in the slot. He was an outside guy. He was. We saw him down here at Sun Life Stadium against the Dolphins when he was with the Rams. He was an outside guy, barely lined up in the slot, and he got here, and pretty much from day one, Miami Dolphins and Joe Philbin and Mike Sherman said, you're going to be a slot receiver. He's adjusting to that role really, really nicely.
Man, he's going to eat so well in there. He really is. He's going to get some of the best matchups that he can imagine. You know, sometimes he might even have a linebacker on him, which is a bad idea. But the thing about it is when Ryan throws that ball in the middle of the field to Brandon Gibson, he feels really confident, really comfortable. You know, when Brandon knows he's going to take a hit, he took some shots yesterday. But he's such a big guy that even the safeties, you know, they're going to feel that a lot on some of those shots. And his fearlessness in there, that's important when you're playing in that slot. He had 4 catches on third down yesterday. That's critical, keeping those chains moving, you know, and keeping this offense, keep this offense going. So I love the fact that Brandon's adapted to this position. He's starting to get a lot more comfortable, and Ryan loves him in there.
And you know, the one thing you notice, OJ, about the way Gibson runs routes is once he catches the football, he's yak. I mean, he's getting yards. He's not one of those guys, the legs all of a sudden fall asleep and you hit the ground. He's catching it, and he's running through those routes, and he's able to get yards after catch. And that's so important for a team, especially when you're struggling to run the football. You need every single yard you can after a reception. And he was one of those guys that were able to turn it on. I think he had a 24 or 34-yarder in that last drive. He had a couple catches, three of them in that drive, and so did Hartline. But it was nice to see the yards after catch. That's going to be exciting to watch, especially once the run game gets going and he gets to, you know, get that safety or linebacker on him.
Yeah, that'll help things, obviously, in the passing game, although the passing game did pretty well on their own yesterday without the running game. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Mike Wallace and the lack of actual statistical production, even though he obviously did do a lot of things to open it up for everybody else outside. I mean, Hartline, just to kind of put a cap on that, 9 catches, 114 yards. It's the second biggest receiving day of his career. You know, the game last year against Arizona when he set the Dolphins single game record for most yards in a game, and this is it. This is number two for him, and it's just right out of the chute again this season. He gets the touchdown, which is nice because he only had one all of last year. And by the way, same defensive coordinator.
I was coordinator just going there, Justin.
In both, Ray Horton doesn't want to see Brian Hartline anytime
soon. Absolutely not.
Is there anything to that? I mean, is that just you match up well against their guys, or is it just he beat the hell out of his guy?
You know, what it really boiled down to was that, you know, Ray Horton trusted that his guy could stop him. And Brian Hartline probably took it personal, and he handled it himself. You know, he had one-on-ones on that side, and he just abused Buster Screen. He really did, and that's the thing about it. When you got a guy that runs routes that well, I mean, it, no matter who you got on him, it's going to be a tough day on that defensive back. So I think Brian took it personal, and he handled it yesterday.
Might be time for a name change out there.
Screen, Buster.
It was the Dolphins over the Browns 23-10 yesterday afternoon. That was kind of a look at everything that went right for the Miami Dolphins. And, of course, when you win by a couple of touchdowns, generally there are a lot of things that go right, but there are some things to work on for the Miami Dolphins. You've got to get the running game going. You've got to get Mike Wallace going, and they made that effort in the second half. We'll talk about all of that when we come back. But again, the interceptions, the takeaways, the third downs, all these things that not just Joe Philbin, but basically every coach is so adamant about going right for his team if they want to have a chance to win. That's, I think, the big picture good news. Those things all went right for the Dolphins.
Everything that, you know, you probably had a big circle or a big concern going into the football game, I think on both sides of the football went well. And I think it leans more towards the defense. But it went well. You know, the turnovers on defense, that was the biggest thing. On offense, third down, can we convert? Can we score in the 20s? And can we close out a football game? All those things you get put a check mark next to.
Yeah, you absolutely do. I mean, I think one of the biggest moments for me in the game last night or yesterday was after that long drive to get that touchdown, defense came out and hit them in the mouth. You know, the response. Sometimes we've seen where our offense is going out and scored, and defense come back, and they've given up long drives and given up points, or they come out and give up a touchdown. Not yesterday. Once we scored that big touchdown, that 10-play drive, defense came out three and out, big sack.
Even on the short field, even when, you know, you didn't flip the field for the defense, they came out and found a way to go three and out.
Yes,
it was. It was a great day for the defense. It really was. We'll talk more about that. Trent Richardson, 13 carries for 47 yards. Longest run of the day, just 10 yards. And Brandon Whedon attempted 53 passes yesterday afternoon, completed 26 of them for 289 yards, a touchdown, but most critically, the three interceptions and the six sacks that the Dolphin defense had against him, just a 48.4 passer rating for Brandon Whedon. It was a nice little matchup between a couple of second-year quarterbacks. We'll get that again next week. And rivalry number two, I guess, or meeting number two between Ryan Tannehill, Andrew Luck, the Dolphins, and the Colts next Sunday. Lots more to talk about. As we said, we've got Joe Philbin's press conference coming up about 10, 15, 20 minutes from now when he gets over to the interview room next door. We'll step aside. When we come back, we'll continue to break down the 23-10 victory over the Cleveland Browns yesterday afternoon, but also talk about, again, some of the things the Dolphins have to do better in week two and beyond if they want to continue to pile up victories here in 2013. We'll talk running game, we'll talk Mike Wallace, and much more. It's Dolphins Monday opening drive on 940 Wins, the sports animal.
More team coverage in minutes on Dolphins Monday opening drive.
Ready, break! Hot, hot!
Now, back to Dolphins Monday opening drive.
Reaction fake. Tannehill back to throw. Fires. Wants it deep.
Got Hartline, touchdown. What a great throw and catch.
Wow, Brian Hartline beat his man by a step, comes back home and gets himself a touchdown.
Brian Hartline, 34-yard touchdown yesterday afternoon in Cleveland. Dolphins defeat the Browns 23-10. Welcome back to Dolphins Monday opening drive. Former Dolphins wide receiver O.J. McDuffie and John Kingemi. I'm Jesse Agler. Hartline and Tannehill, definitely a couple of the things that went very right for the Miami Dolphins in yesterday's victory. But, of course, it was not a flawless game, and there are plenty of things for this team to work on coming out of Week 1 and pointing towards Week 2, as there is for every team in the entire National Football League. Sometimes those things are more glaring than other times, though. And I think yesterday, when you look at what you saw the Dolphins do against the Browns and what you'd like for them to do better against the Indianapolis Colts, it probably starts with the run game, because it is not easy to win games in the National Football League when you average less than 1 yard per carry, and that's what the Miami Dolphins did yesterday.
Yeah, tough time getting it going with the run game. 23 carries, 20 yards. That's a tough deal right there. And more importantly, when you needed to get the run game going, late in the game, get a little four-minute offense going, couldn't convert any third downs, any first downs, getting positive yards that way. So that is one of the big glaring, mistakes or issues that the Dolphins have to deal with.
Well, it sure does help create balance, OJ, and that's what you're trying to do for a quarterback that seemed to take the team on his shoulders in that fourth quarter, was able to sustain a drive and find points at the end of a game to create separation that you're looking for the Miami Dolphins. So that rushing attack, that offensive line in conjunction with how we run the football, whether that's the screen game included with that, whether that's Tannehill tucking in and running, you have to have some semblance of controlling the line of scrimmage, and that didn't happen against a very good front seven from the Cleveland Browns, but you hope it changes in week two against Indianapolis.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is that you got to give Cleveland some credit.
Absolutely.
There. And look, again, less than 1 yard per carry, you're doing plenty wrong, I'm sure. And I'm sure Joe Philbin would tell you that, and maybe he will coming up in a few minutes when he meets the South Florida media, because you can be assured he's going to be asked about that. Kind of staying with that theme up front, pass protection is also a critical part of this. Fair to say we've better in the second half than in the first half, because it seemed like Ryan Tannehill had a little bit more time.
I think so, Jesse. I think it got better as the game went on. You're always going to have lapses where a guy that's getting paid a whole heck of a lot of money on that defensive side of the football is going to beat you one-on-one, and you're going to get to Ryan Tannehill. That's where you hope that Ryan's able to see that guy flash and be able to use his athleticism either to buy time within the pocket or be able to escape, extend a play, and then continue to make a play downfield to one of the guys on the outside. But I think overall, pass protection wasn't too bad. I think there were spots in the game where you saw guys maybe get beat off the ball or get beat by a bull rush or a speed rush from the outside or inside. But I think that unit was better, definitely better protecting Ryan Tannehill than what Brandon Whedon received on the other end. He was getting hit from every angle, so it was better than the other side. But little improvements. You want to see improvements definitely in the running game. That's probably number one. And number two, I would say pass protection, just to become a little bit more consistent.
Yeah, I tell you what, when the ball got out on time, I mean, it was great the way it all looked. It really did. The guys looked great. The routes ran well. The guys won the one-on-ones. You saw Hartline win a lot of one-on-ones. You saw Brandon Gibson win a lot of one-on-ones. You saw Clay get open on a lot of time. So when that ball came out there on time, John, it was a thing of beauty. When he had to hold a little bit, and any offensive line has a problem. You have to hold a little bit, wait for guys to get open, then you're going to get a lot of pressure that way.
There's one pass I have in my head that I was watching, and I can still see it. It's the 34-yard touchdown pass to Hartline down that sidelines. If you go back, the cushion between the line of scrimmage and where Ryan Tannehill threw the football, there's about two and a half yards. I mean, the vision for Ryan on that play, he even said it in the post game. He looked right first because the coverage told him to do that, but then he came back right at the snap because he thought he could get Brian on that double move. And when you see Tannehill step into the throw, there was nobody there. That probably led to a clean passing lane, good vision, a good window to deliver the football. And I think that was his best throw, one of the best throws he's made as a Dolphin. That was a rope.
Yeah, it was about as nice a throw as you're going to see in a situation like that. Let's talk a little bit more about Mike Wallace. One catch for 15 yards, was targeted 5 times in this game. For comparative purposes, Charles Clay targeted 6 times. Brandon Gibson targeted 10 times. Brian Hartline targeted 15 times. I believe all 5 of the targets for Mike Wallace came after halftime. There were definitely some adjustments made when it came to trying to get Mike Wallace the ball, and I imagine there will continue to be adjustments made as time moves on.
Well, you have to. You have to try to get the ball in the hands of a dynamic playmaker. And, in the first half, when you only have 89 total yards, it's tough to kind of spread the football around. You only generate 6 points on the scoreboard. So, you know, the Miami Dolphins weren't rolling on all cylinders yesterday until the second half, and it seemed like they had to rely on the passing game. So that naturally leads to getting Mike Wallace involved. But the Cleveland Browns had a lot to do with not getting Mike Wallace involved. And that's why you saw guys like Brian Hartline get targeted 15 times. Anytime you roll coverage to a guy like that, it's senseless to try to fit the football in there. I mean, get him involved early, I'm all for it. If the coverage dictates that and we're trying to get him the football, I'm all for that. But as the game goes on, I'm trying to win. And if I can't win with Mike Wallace beating double coverage consistently, I'm going somewhere else with the football. And that's what happened in that game.
Great luxury the Dolphins have. It's a great luxury. And this offense, and Mike Sherman, their whole idea of this offense is take advantage of the mismatches. When you've got a guy like Joe Hayden, who's a heck of a corner, guarding a guy like Mike Wallace, and at times they had help over the top, it doesn't make sense for Ryan to even think about going that way. You talk about him looking that way, he saw the coverage drift that way, and then he's got the one-on-one with Hartline. So you see a lot of guys in this whole offense about one-on-ones, beating your guy one-on-one, and finding that mismatch. And he found it, you know, throughout the afternoon.
Yeah, he did. And that's a big part of why the Dolphins beat the Browns 23-10. Lots more to come on Dolphins Monday opening drive. And when we return, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, Joe Philbin, will have his day after press conference with the South Florida media. We will bring you live coverage of that press conference. Again, final score yesterday, Miami 23 and Cleveland 10. Dolphins Monday opening drive continues next, right here on 940 Wins, the Sports Animal.
More team coverage in minutes on Dolphins Monday opening drive.
Ready, break! Hot, hot!
Now, back to Dolphins Monday opening drive.
Welcome back to opening drive. Jesse Agler, John Congemi, former Dolphin wide receiver O.J. McDuffie. We have discussed what has gone right in one game for the Miami Dolphins. We discussed a little bit of what they probably want to clean up moving forward towards the second game of the season against the Colts in Indianapolis. What do we know, though? The guy that does know is the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, Joe Philbin. He'll be stepping to the podium next door in the interview room just a couple of minutes from now, and we will bring you live coverage of Joe Philbin's day after press conference on this day after the first game of the season for the Miami Dolphins. As we said, there are things to work on. There are things to clean up, and those are, you know, some of them obvious, some of them not. But you got to be happy. First game of the season on the road. Look, we said all week, you got to win this game. You really do. And I mean, you hate to use the term must win, but you look at the schedule and you go, okay, you'd love to have that one against the Cleveland Browns. And the Dolphins, thanks to the big second half, come out on top 23-10.
Well, Jesse, when you look at the schedule, you definitely had a W next to the Cleveland game. You had to come out and play well and start fast as the team. And they did that. They got that done. They scored 23 points. They limited Cleveland to 10 points on the scoreboard. And they were able to find a way in the second half to rely on the right arm of Ryan Tannehill. And they got that done. I think, you know, moving forward, do you need to improve to beat the Indianapolis Colts? Absolutely. Are there things out there that are coachable points that you can correct on both sides of the football? No doubt. Absolutely. But if you said that Trent Richardson was going to gain 47 yards on 13 carries going into the game, you raise your hand and you'll take it. You'll take it. And I think 47 yards, guys, was generous. There was a lot of missed tackles on Richardson. Now, granted, he's a big back, but he probably could have been held to 30. The way the Miami Dolphins defense, the speed and the tenacity and the way they play downhill and physical against the run, I think that was a generous 47 yards
right
for the way that they played defensively against the run.
Yeah, and it started off, I mean, Trent had a lot of good runs early in that game, and they settled down. They knew the way to stop this team was to stop him, and they did a heck of a job of it. And, you know John, the one thing that, you know, you have to talk about is the fact that a win on the road is so hard to come by. It's so hard to come by. And every team in the NFL looks at game one on their schedule and say, this is the game we got to get ready for. And that's the reason the Dolphins, you know, when they were here 10 days or so, they were getting ready for that game up in Cleveland. Cleveland, for sure, we're looking at the Dolphins, all the tape from last year, as the biggest game on their schedule. Because it is. The first game is the biggest game on your schedule. And to go up there and get that win, man, that's just, you know, great preparation by the players, you know, great professionalism by everybody, and the coaches. Start from Coach Joe Philbin, Coach Sherman, Coach Coyle. They got this team ready to play. Coach Rizzi as well.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any doubt about it. And again, you don't get style points in pro football. This isn't, you know, the Canes and the Gators, and you got to worry about, you know, the AP vote or anything like that. This is a standings. It's a meritocracy. mediocrity. It's you win and you're good. And the Dolphins won, and so they're good. Again, things to clean up. You got to run the ball better. That's as obvious as anything in the world. You'd love to get the ball more to Mike Wallace, but the Miami Dolphins did exactly what they needed to do, which is beat the Cleveland Browns 23-10, and it's something you can definitely, you know, work on to get better at moving into the second game against the Browns. I'm sure as a player, if you're making corrections coming off a victory, it feels a lot better than making corrections coming off a loss.
They're going to get yelled at a lot less with this. You know, it's going to be some correction, and they're going to be a little upset. But if it leads to a loss on the things you do wrong, it's a lot worse. But the thing about it is everybody's got a lot of good stuff to build on, and we know where we have to go in order to get better. So as a player, you know, Mondays are a lot better with a win than, you know, and when you get yelled at, then it's a loss and you get yelled at. So I know the guys themselves that, you know, that are being corrected, you know, they're upset, and they should be. But at the same time, though, they're a little happier about the fact that this team is starting off 1-0.
One of the things, you know, a lot of check marks in the positive box, I guess, if you're going down for the Miami Dolphins list. But the one thing that really did stick its head up was the penalties.
Yeah.
Ten
yeah.
penalties for 77 yards, and one of them was a very important penalty because a 52-yard punt return by Figgy, you know, gets called back on a holding call. I think there were two calls.
Could have been two.
Could have
yeah.
been two on that mm-hmm. play. So, you know, that's not indicative of a Joe Philbin coached team. You know, there's Miami, I believe, was fourth in the league last year when it comes down to, you know, penalties against. And you have to be able to improve on that because those 5 and 10 and 15 yards are hidden yardage somewhere in the football game where you go back and you say, wow, that really brought us out of field goal range, or that made us, you know, instead of 3rd and 4, you know, you got 3rd and 14 and we didn't convert there and we had to give it away and the other team went down and got points. So everything adds up in a football game, especially when it doesn't go your way. That's why, to your guys' points, these are correctable things, but they're correctable in a game that you win. Those are always easier Monday morning meetings to have than when you lose.
All right, we are awaiting Joe Philbin's day after press conference with the South Florida media. He's stepping to the podium next door in the interview room where he will take questions about all manner of things, one would imagine, after the Dolphins' 23-10 win over the
I thought Browns. Yesterday was a good start to the season. It was a team win. I thought our guys showed a lot of resiliency. You know, we gave up a score, I think, with 23 seconds left to go in the half, and we're trailing, and I thought our guys made enough plays in the second half to secure the victory, so I think it was a good start.
Joe, when you looked at the film, obviously the running game struggled, but what else stood out to you after looking at the film that you really were happy with?
From the offense or team? Oh, offense, yeah. You know, I thought our quarterback played well. I thought he played well on third down. I thought our production on third down as a unit was good. And I thought we made some plays. I thought we took advantage of some plays that were there and, you know, made the plays that we had to. We certainly have to be better and in more rhythm and sync, so to speak. And I think that will come with time.
Joe, Mike Wallace wasn't happy after the game. What are your thoughts about that, and have you talked to him?
You know, I want our players, every player, 46 players that dress, to want to make an impact and want to contribute and make a difference in the football game. And any discussion that I would have had with Mike would be, you know, the personal nature. Anyone that I would or wouldn't have had would be personal.
Looking at the film, why did he catch just one ball yesterday?
Well, the foundation of the pass offense, the way we do it here, is one, we start with protection. Two, we talk about the depth of the drop of the quarterback and time that up with the depth and spacing of the routes. And third and most important is we have a progression for the quarterback. We don't have plays in the offense where we throw the ball to a certain jersey number just to do it. We throw it to the people who are open. And so there were certainly times where we potentially could have gone to him. I thought overall our quarterback decision-making was good.
So you don't mind a player being upset with his performance after a win?
I'm going to leave it at I want the players on this football team to want to make a difference and want to contribute in a game. Absolutely want that.
Claire, what did you see in the running game? Was it more the holes were opening up, the running backs themselves? What was the reason 23 carries, 20 yards?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of everything, like usual. You know, when you have 23 carries and 20 yards, you know, you take a look at the tape, you see there's times where there wasn't a lot of room to go. There's times where potentially there's a read of the running back that could have been a little better. There were times on the perimeter that the receivers didn't block it as well as we should have. There were times they had a good defensive call. It was a little bit of, like we like to say, tough sledding from an offensive standpoint. So I think all those factors contributed. Clearly, we have to do a better job. That's not a good formula to have that much pass offense and that little run offense. You know, we want to have better balance. It's not probably never going to be 50-50 in terms of the yardage, but you need to have better balance.
How much of an impact did you see Mike having as far as what they did defensively, just his presence on the field?
Yeah, they mixed up coverages. I mean, again, there's a well-coached defense in Cleveland. Again, I can't speak to how they game planned it, but they did some things, some combination coverages, and et cetera. But, you know, they decided to call the coverages and fronts and blitzes that it was at their discretion.
Now that you reviewed the footage, what do you think of the offensive line?
You know, they did some good things, but we got to get better. There's no question about it. We need to play better. Our protection wasn't good enough up to our standard of protection, and we have to do a better job in the run block. We got to improve, no question.
When Dustin Keller went down, obviously that brought about concern about that position, but looking at what Charles Clay did yesterday, how did you evaluate his performance?
Thought he did well. I'd like to see him block a little bit better, but I thought he contributed in the passing game well. He made a nice, difficult catch down the seam, torqued his body a little bit, took a hit right after, and made a big explosive play there, and thought he was good.
If someone had told you beforehand you had 20 yards rushing or 22 carries, would you have thought you had a much of a chance to win?
You never know. Every game's a little bit unique and a little bit different, but I wouldn't have thought that we would have had 20 yards rushing on 23 carries.
After you reviewed the film, was there something in particular that Cleveland did, or was it just misfits, or
in our running game?
Your running game.
Yeah, they played well. They set the edge, number one, pretty good. Right? They have two good outside linebackers. They set the edge well, and we had a hard time creating a lot of space for our backs. We didn't break a lot of tackles, and so that added up. And then a couple times they had a couple good defensive calls. They had a couple to sky, brought a guy down late a couple times, had an extra hat, so to speak, as we like to say. And they did a good job defending our run game. I mean, I have to give them a lot of credit. And we have to do better. We have to block better.
How much does this concern you for moving forward? I mean, week one.
We're going to have to put together a good run plan, and we're going to have to execute the plan better. Long term, again, this is not a good formula. 20 yards a game rushing, 0.9 or something average. That's not very good. I mean, there's no other way to put it.
Joe, there was a picture on social media of Randy Starks making an obscene gesture toward the sideline. Are you aware of that? Did you take that as being toward you guys for not starting him?
Probably me directly, no. no, it's important for our players to act the right way on and off the field. I think you've heard me say that a number of times. And I am aware of it. It's very important that we do that.
Have you talked to him about it? Did you?
Again, those discussions, Chris, I would be ones that I would keep to myself.
But you did talk to him, though?
Whether I did or not, that I would be kept to myself.
Joe, we saw more of Daniel Thomas in the second half. Was that because Lamar was nicked up, or because of a decision being made that Daniel deserved to play?
We were going to play both guys going into the game.
And what could they have done? You mentioned blocking as well. Outside of breaking more tackles, what could the backs have done maybe?
Break tackles. There was one or two where we thought there was a little bit more there than they got based on a read, you know. But let's face it. I mean, there wasn't a ton. There wasn't a ton there. There just wasn't.
With the job the Cleveland defense did against the run, what did you see about with Ryan Tannehill and how they became one-dimensional pretty much, how he handled the passing game and how he still was able to be efficient?
I thought his decision-making was good, and I thought he distributed the ball for the most part. You know, one of the things, I know it sounds simple, I've told you before, though, you don't want a quarterback, throwing the ball if they have more people than you have receivers. I know that sounds elementary, but it's a basic component of a good pass offense. And I think for the most part, he did that. I mean, he took what was there, enforced the ball through the guys that were open, and, played well.
Three first-half interceptions and 3 points off and trailed at halftime. You're certainly proud of the interceptions, but how disconcerting are the results from that?
Yeah, you have to take better advantage. No question, we want to be more opportunistic as an offense. There's no doubt about it. I mean, we had one giveaway, let's get it on the table. We had a 1st and 10 at the 40-yard line with about 4.5 minutes to go. We're in great shape. We got a 6-0 lead. We're on the road. We're playing well. Obviously, offensively, you can't have a giveaway there. You got to do better, no question.
What did Brian Hartline do well yesterday? Why was he so successful?
Well, he ran routes with precision. They gave us a lot of off coverage to his side for whatever reason. I can't speak to why they did that, but the film would tell you that. When you look over there, there was a lot of off coverage, and there were some completions there.
What about Cam Wake? I mean, 6 quarterback hits and 2.5 sacks. more of the same Cam Wake, or was this a better Cam Wake than we saw a year ago when he had 15 sacks?
You know, he played well. He played well, and he played the run well, and he also, you know, obviously, as you just mentioned, Chris, got a lot of pressure on the quarterback. So, yeah, we were pleased with the way he played. He plays hard. He practices hard. He plays hard, and so he was able to have a lot of production in the game.
So how did Randy Starks play?
He did a good job. Yeah, had a winning performance.
About Deion Jordan getting his first sack in there, and how he looked to the limited action.
Yeah, I thought he did a great job on special teams. I thought he got off to a very good start in special teams. I thought, you know, Kevin and the staff did a nice, had a nice plan for him on defense. And, you know, for his first time out, I thought he got his feet wet and, you know, made a nice contribution.
A couple of things about third down conversions. Offensively, what's an acceptable goal? You got 50% yesterday.
That'd be great. If we could go 50% for the year, I'd be very happy.
And defensively, how are you holding in the 1-14?
I'd love to say we're going to do that every week, but you know, if you can have a 65% success rate as a defense, that's very, very good, very good.
In terms of your responsibility as a head coach, you were an offensive coordinator. You really managed offensive players. Now you got a whole team. What's the challenge of managing egos and starting and playing time and things of that situation nature?
Yeah. Well, you know, you have to set a, you know, kind of a culture and an atmosphere where the best players are going to play and they're going to earn the right for the amount of play time that they get. I think that's first and foremost. And the other thing is you set an environment where, you know, as a coach, your job is to help these guys reach their potential as players and provide an atmosphere where they can grow and develop and contribute. And so, you know, and do that within the team framework. And do that and understand that, you know, I talked to the rookies before the game. You know, we got 53 guys on the team, only 46. I talked to each player that was inactive before the game and told them, look, you know, here's why you're not up. Here's what you got to do to get up. Here's what we're looking for you to do to improve and develop. We've got 16 weeks of the regular season left. You got to do this, this, and this. You know, you got to communicate and provide an atmosphere where guys feel like they can earn the right to play and get playing time.
Two more guys.
Concerning Mike Wallace and Randy Starks, is this something that you would take to the leadership council and have them talk to the players?
Yeah, we'll see.
Which I know sometimes was overlooked, but the kicking game yesterday in those conditions with the wind coming off the lake, both Caleb and Brandon, how pleased were you with their performances?
I thought they both did a good job. You know, I think our net punt was 47, I believe. 47.6, thank you. And no, Caleb, you know, for a rookie, I thought he handled himself professionally. You know, he went out there, did his job, and did it well, and was effective in what he was doing. So I thought both those specialists played well.
Any concern you're getting a little thin at cornerback with Dimitri growing and Jamar growing and Toe for Will?
Yeah, we'll have to see how it goes during the course of the week. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, you'd love to have everybody available, so we'll see.
Okay, guys, thank
Harvey,
you.
Harvey, just to be clear on one thing, which Coach said, your comment about Randy probably toward me, was that entirely a joke?
Do you think
that it was intended?
I can't take it back, but I probably shouldn't have made a joke. That's my sense of humor. My dry New England humor. Sorry.
But I mean, did you have reason to believe it was intended toward coaches, I guess, is the root of the issue?
I do not have any reason to believe that.
Okay, guys, thanks. We'll have Coach Sherman in at 2:30.
All right, that was Joe Philbin, the Dolphins head coach, with his day after press conference. It's always something, right?
Always.
You win a game 23-10, and there are questions to be asked. And I like when the coach shows a sense of humor, but sometimes it requires, I suppose, the media to sort of ask him a little bit more about what an intention was when he says something. But, all right, you know, moving on to the actual football stuff that we saw there, and there was obviously a lot of it. When it comes to Mike Wallace and what he expects and hopes to get out of Mike Wallace on the field, what I liked was he said, I want guys to want to be involved in the game, and I don't know how far you can read into that, but, you know, the inverse of this is, if you look at it the other way, if Mike Wallace is like, yeah, it's cool, I only had one catch, you probably wouldn't be too happy with that. You want your guys, especially your star players, and Mike Wallace is a star player, you want them to want to be involved, and I think that was his message there.
Exactly, especially when you get a big win. You always want to feel like you did, you know, were a part of it somehow. You know, and of course, a big-time receiver, big free agent receiver, you know, you come out and you have one catch for 15 yards and five targets, you're going to feel like you didn't really do as much to contribute to that win, which is far from the case here, John. We both watched the game a different way. play. A lot of people just watch the football. We watch the big picture. And Jesse, you too. We all watch the big picture. And we saw, you know, you see a guy like Joe Hayden on him. You see his safety over the top a lot of times. So the fact that Mike didn't have the big game numbers-wise, it was still a big game for us as an offense because it gave guys like Brandon Gibson, Brian Hartline, Charles Clay, opportunity to get one-on-ones where at times where Mike Wallace is doubled, John.
It's a big deal only because of the frustration that Mike Wallace showed after the football game. Now, when you go back and watch the tape, I think you might be able to, for Mike's purposes, to go calm down a little bit. Say, you know what? I don't know how you could have gotten me the football in that situation because most of the day, as you mentioned, Hayden was on the bottom on a press corner coverage. There was a safety over the top that disregarded, you know, the other half of the football field. He was well off the hash, close to the numbers towards number 11. So it was 2-on-1 most of the afternoon. So I just think that today, a little bit calmer as the season, as the week goes on, I think, you know, prepare for Indianapolis. You're 1-0 on the road. Try to make it 2-0 on the season on the road. That's the most important thing.
It is. And the 23-10 victory is the final score and kind of the final word on all of this. A two-score victory on the road against the Cleveland Browns in week one. Plenty more Dolphins Monday coverage coming up. At 5 o'clock, we've got the Finsiders show, which will include a sit-down interview with the head coach, Joe Philbin. We'll also hear from the team's owner, Steve Ross, and the new CEO of the Miami Dolphins, President and CEO, Tom Garfinkel. So a jam-packed Finsiders show this afternoon at 5. You can listen to it here on the radio. You can listen to it on Dolphins.com. And today, for the very first time, you can watch the show live at 5 on Fox Sports Florida.
That sounded good. One more time.
Live at 5 on Fox Sports Florida in South Florida and Southwest Florida.
He's been doing that all weekend.
He's got it right. He's practicing that, right?
Exactly. Lots more Dolphins coverage coming up at 5 o'clock. We hope to see you then right here on 940 Wins and Dolphins.com.
Miami has a Dolphin, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, 'cause we're the Miami Dolphins.